Namo Buddhaya. 愿得世诸佛心愿
道，
诸佛心得观念即心诸佛可蒙给我这马律解脱。 Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Okay, let's see. Okay. And at the beginning of the teaching, we recite generating bodhicitta vows. So whatever we do during the discussion session, teaching session, we supposed to keep the altruistic mind and the compassion we have until end of the teaching, until end of the session. And so that means that the whole place, that's Dharma Center and the discussion session, teaching session from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock, it's just supposed to be the time and the place is more dedicated spiritual practice, particularly practice of the altruistic mind and compassion. And you know that in England there is a place, Speaker's Corners. When you go to Speaker's Corners, you can say anything, you can participate in any kind of speech and the dialogues only in that particular area, specially located. There you can go and say whatever you want to say. If you are controlled, if you are overwhelmed by negative emotions, then probably you are not qualified to be there and participate in the discussions taking place in the speaker's corners. The same way Dharma Center is particularly arranged and established by masters, where we can, where we should, supposed to generate compassion and altruistic mind and continue the practice of the spirituality. This is, place is especially reserved the practicing spirituality and the discussions about Lam Rim Tso or Mahayana practice, whatever it is. So here and then, during 2 hours, almost every word you are going to hear will be the teaching of the Lam Rim or whatever you feel supposed to be this connection and the connections of the spirituality and the Mahayana practice, and which the founder of the center specially created and located where we can practice Mahayana path. Now we try to say, okay, let us say the line chapter 6. I think we did recite the line 6 yesterday, but we didn't have much time to discuss about. So I request you read once more the sixth line in English first.
Thank you.
going to read that line in Tibetan. Zangin keba yongji zugi jen yenbe pa jen rana langa wa. Ludub tome yele jim shindu lekju chanchu lamki jimban. Jigun dodan malu kumbe na dambar jinsi ongi jebu te shungsan tungi chogun du vichir. Panden lewar shebe jatsu ang yin yin sata timbra. So here they're describing the greatness of the Lamrim teaching. The Lamrim teaching is very much, it's originated, teaching of the Lamrim, whatever said in the Lamrim is originated from Lord Buddha Shakyamuni. Then it came through Maitreya Buddha and Manjushri, then also came through Nagarjuna in the Asanga, and many lineages of the Lamrims up to now. Okay. And also all the subjects and the subject, particularly chapters, for instance, like greatness of the Buddha, greatness of the Maitreya Buddha and Manjushri, Nagarjuna and Asanga, and the lineage, and great Atisha in the Lama Tsongkhapas. And also that the teachings of the precious human rebirth, and the teachings about the power of the karma, teachings of the Four Noble Truths, the teachings of the Bodhicitta, and the Six Perfections, and each and every chapter, you can find in many commentaries and the many teachings of the Lord Buddhas. When you study about Four Noble Truths, it's been extensively taught in Panchanapamita, Madhyamaka, and also Pramana, and also the Vinaya, and also it's taught in Abhidhamma Kosha. So if Great Atisha and the Lama Tsongkhapa did not compose the teaching of the Lamrim, then the subject that been used in the Lamrim, like Four Noble Truths, Bodhicitta, they all are scattered all over. Okay. They are not arranged, organized. The way organizing them one after the another is according to the smooth process of practicing Mahayana path. So someone who needs to practice Mahayana complete from the beginning to the end, you have to understand, you have to read and understand each and every commentaries and root texts and sutras and one by one. So it was founded almost impossible to read them all, because there are hundreds and hundreds of the commentaries and root texts and teachings. But because of the great Atisha and Lama Tsongkhapa, they were kind enough, they were very specialized to arrange the teachings from important commentaries and treaties and everything put in order. So that's why I said the Lamrim is ocean of all the teachings. Okay? Ocean of all the teachings. Said, and the Lamrim, we are fortunate being able to receiving teachings of the Lamrim over and over again and again. And for instance, myself, I always feel so fortunate being able to teach on a Lamrim again, again, again. And I'm hoping that in the rest of my life, I will be able to continue the teaching on the Lamrim most of the time. there one can really reach the most of that. One can refill that. One can refer to the teachings, most authentic teachings and commentaries ever exist on the earth in the current time. And the teaching of the Lamrim is going to reach in everybody and will grant the what will grant it and help to whatever you desired on. And here the desire or your wish, what you are looking for, is not like mundane, like a need, like a business, like a getting finding jobs and promotions and finding the like live companies and looking for children and so forth. But here, the people who are supposed to come to the center, the aim is supposed to be achieving state of the enlightenment. And the state of the enlightenment is nothing but something should be found, should be discovered and achieved within individual's mind and individual's life. And the spiritual master and the teaching of the Lamrim can help you to reach that aim and establish the state of the enlightenment within everybody's mind and the feeling. And that is the meaning that the Lamrim teaching going to grant your desire. Therefore, the Lamrim teaching will be the great, like a wishful jewel, like a teaching of the wish, fulfilling the wish of the jewel. Okay, now then, the line of the seven, I would like to request you to recite them in English. Okay, here the greatness of the Lamrim teaching is at the time of the great Atisha was in India and in Tibet, there was a feeling that there's some kind of contradictions between Mahayana teachings and Theravadan teachings. Sometimes we use the word of the Theravadan teachings. Another time, we use the lower school, teaching of the lower school, teaching of the high school. And also there is the practice of the Tantrayana. So practice of the Tantrayana is one category, and the practice of the Mahayana is another category, And the practice of the Theravada is another category. So three different categories. And those days, the disciples and many devotees of in Buddhism finding some kind of contradictions. Because of the contradiction, finding contradiction, that means one spiritual, a spiritual practitioner would not be able to use the Mahayana teaching. If you are the practitioners of the according to low scope or Theravadan teachings, the techniques of the Theravadan teachings may not be applicable if you are practicing Mahayana path. If you are a practitioner of the Tantrayana, and the techniques that be presented in the Theravadan tradition or teaching may not be applicable. So there's separations. Because of that, the finding contradictions in separations, there was a tendency that a lot of people go and say, oh, Theravadan tradition is not for me, it's something else, it's for the practitioners, level of the practitioners with the lower school. And they said another way, the techniques in Tantrayana, in Mahayana, is not applicable if you are practicing in Theravadan tradition, because the Mahayana teachings and Tantrayana teaching, they are something thinking of the miracles, thinking of the clairvoyance, and so it's very much involved mundane lives and not spiritual because of the way they are conducting, the way they are receiving teachings and giving teachings. They are almost like opposite of the practicing, renunciations, practicing of the impermanent of the life, and the suffering of the samsara. So there was some kind of a contradiction that was going on. But because of the teaching of the Lamrim, clearly explained that needs of if you are practitioners of the Mahayana practitioner, there is a clear needs of the practicing renunciation, practicing understanding of the impermanent and the uncertainty of the life and the death, impermanent everything. And if you are complete the teaching of the Lamrim, that you will be then qualified disciple and receiving the Tantrayana initiation. So the teaching of the Theravadan tradition and the teaching of the Mahayana tradition, the Lamrim teaching of the Tantrayana, they all not only because of the available, but they all needs. The teaching of the Theravadan tradition is very much required when you are just about the beginning, entering the teaching of the Lord Buddha. And the teaching of the Mahayana is very much required when you are practicing like that, achieving the state of the enlightenment. Teaching of the Tantrayana is very much required because if you wish to achieve state of the enlightenment in the quicker and the speedy way. So instead of the contradiction, through learning through the Lamrim, one can find the the connections, the flow of the yoga practice, flow of the yoga understandings, of the Mahayana part and the Tantrayana part, everything related. For instance, okay, we are very much favorite of the practicing the compassion and the altruistic mind. Practicing compassion and the altruistic mind, one has to study the precious human rebirth first, and death impermanent, and everything we have to practice. Basically, every one of us have a quality of the positive qualities and the negative qualities. Every individual, so we have the compassion, we have negative emotions, but positive emotions, positive feelings, we have like compassion, like patience, like lovingness, loving and kindness, we have it. But loving and kindness, we have the ordinary life. If you are not practicing the lamrim, the loving kindness we have, compassion we have, it is very much restricted and very limited. So even though it is naturally positive, but it's still very much restricted and very much limited, so that there will not be sense of the great compassion, great loving kindness, because of the very much restricted. Idea of the restrictment, there is no sense of the greatness. Okay, sense of the great compassion and the greatness must come after your practice of the precious human rebirth, uncertainty and the death impermanent, and the suffering of the samsara generally. We have to practice them all. Once you practice them all, then the altruistic mind we have, compassion we have, there will be a chance to improve, and not only improve, but going to become great compassion. The reason is whatever compassion we have in everyday life is very much conditional. It is only concerned yourself and your friends and your relatives and your community. But beyond that, anything that is not related to you and the sentient beings will be excluded, and your compassion will not be reached them. That is the reason why the compassion ordinary people have is very much restricted and limited. Therefore, to receive the teaching of the Mahayana, you have to study it and practice all the techniques that be presented in the Theravadan tradition, and sometimes we call it the teachings according to lower scope. Okay? So that there is a telling that the contradiction is not there, not only because of the contradictions is not there between teachings and Theravadan traditions, and teachings and in Mahayana tradition, teachings and Tantrayana teachings. There's no contradictions. It's not only no contradictions, but they are very, very related to each other. Without the receiving and the practicing the earlier techniques and taught in Theravada and Mahayana teachings, the later realization is certainly not going to be achieved. The later, greater realizations presented in the Tantrayana, Mahayana, will not be possible, will not be possible to achieve without practice the techniques that have been presented in the Theravadan tradition, or tradition that presented in the teachings that concern the lower scope, disciples of the lower scope. The one thing we discovered that the strong bonds between Tantrayana and Mahayana and Theravadan tradition, Hinayana. We use the Hinayana, okay? Hinayana. There's a strong bond between them. If you are qualified, if you are qualified practitioners of the Mahayana, we can see the strong bonds between three different traditions, three different vehicles. Then once we know that, then we can see all the teachings, all the teachings that be presented in the Hinayana and the Mahayana and Tantrayana going to be seen, going to be appeared as individual practitioners' personal instructions. The personal instructions you can see once we know there is no contradictions between three vehicles. And not only there are no contradictions, but there are strong bonds between three traditions. Then we can see that all the teachings will be the personal instructions. Then, once we discover that, once we realize that, then we can see the why, what Buddha was intended for the disciples and the followers of the Mahayana teaching and the Tantrayana teachings, followers of the Theravadan teachings. So the whatever Buddha Shakyamuni said is, the final aim is leading all the sentient beings towards the state of the enlightenment. That is the final Buddha's intention. That final intention can be seen after we discovered that there's no contradiction between three vehicles. And all the teachings presented in the three traditions are as personal instructions. Then we can see the Buddha's intention. After we know all those three qualities of the Lama, then we can see the disciple of the Mahayana, disciple of the Lamrim practitioner. Lamrim practitioners being, let's say, protected by teaching of the Lamrim because of the, then you know that we, that all the teachings and the three vehicles, everything is going to kind of save the disciples from the cliffs of the danger of the falling into the lower realms because of that. Your practice is going to be completed, and your inflicted emotions will not be continued and presented and continued. Yeah? Inflicted emotion, once controlled, once overwhelmed disciples, then there is a greater danger that we might fall into the lower realms in the near future, near life. So the disciples who practice the Lamrim, what they will do is that they are like, we call it the three doors, like a door of the speech and the mind and the body. Activities connected with your physical body, activities that connect with your speech and your mind, all going to, there is a possible that are going to be spiritual and positive, and negative activities will not be arise because of the teaching of the Lamrim. Once you understand the teaching of the Lamrim, then you know that your speech and your physical body activities and the activities of the mind all possibly become the positive. And because of the positive of the three, body, speech, and mind, whatever you performed, engaged, and do something, all going to become the positive and the good karma. Through the good karmas, a collection of the good karmas through body, speech, and mind, the next life is going to be in the higher realms and not going to be in the lower realms. That is the way, okay, the teaching of the Lamrim is going to protect you and save your life, the danger, life from the danger of the falling into the lower realms. So now, four different qualities of the Lamrim teaching. One is no contradiction between vehicles, between teachings, between traditions, and all the scriptures and the teachings going to become as your personal instructions. Then we are going to realize that what Buddha was intended, what Buddha wished for the sentient beings. Buddha intended sentient beings to lead to the state of the enlightenment, exactly what Buddha Shakyamuni himself achieved. Usually, we know that many people who discovered something, usually they wouldn't like to share with the other people, particularly people you don't like them, people you compete everyday life, you compete with, and you are not going to tell them this. We call it secret. You are not going to share your secret with everybody. You like to keep it for yourself. And sometimes on the name of your property right. And we keep it for yourself. Otherwise, if you share with everybody, you are going to lose your other business. Okay? But here in Buddha Shakyamuni is completely different. He likes to share. If you are willing and if you are ready to listen to the Lord Buddha Shakyamuni, he is the one very much eagerly to share the experience he developed, experience he achieved, and all the secrets, you can say, all the secrets he has, he's very much like to share with every sentient beings. And that is Buddha Shakyamuni's intention. And now, because of all these qualities, qualities of the lamanam you have, it helped you to save yourself, save all the disciples from the danger of the falling into the possibility of the born in lower realms. The reason is that because of the teaching of the lamanam going to help you to set up the positive actions only. The positive actions through your body, speech and mind, and create the good karmas, and that way your next life on the life future is going to be in higher realms with all the qualities, the eight liberties and the endowment. And that is the quality of the lamrim. Okay, now the line 8. I would like to request you recite the English version first. Okay, now I'm going to read it in Tibetan version. Songrab gunji nyingbo dudu wa tsundi tunri tuandang nyingbe kyang tamchin chetan tebe penyun cho lapchin dupar ngebe tedun samamzi. Okay, this is the saying, if you not only the practice of the lamrim, but merely reciting the lamrim, merely listening, one can accumulate the huge collection of the merit and make a connection to with the Mahayana's teachings and future lives. So I'm going to now go to the chapter and the line, the next one, 9th. I request you to recite it in English first. Now here, the teaching Lamrim, starts from here, and the practice is going to be started from here. And this is one of the important point presented in the Lamrim teaching. And the Lamrim teaching is very much connected here. the common people and the ordinary people, okay, and someone sincerely wishes to practice spirituality, particularly the interested practice of the Lamrim teaching, okay, Lamrim, then what one should do if you can think? The spirituality, the particularly teaching of the Mahayana in the Lamrim is something we never done before. Okay? Something is very new. Something is not so common in the society, in the world. Something is not common in the Western world particularly. So if you hear something like, okay, there is a great teaching of the Lamrim, or there is a great teaching and the techniques presented by Lord Buddha Shakyamuni, who was in India, in Asia, far out in Asia, there was a teaching of the Lord Buddha, and spirituality, something marvelous phenomena that one can possibly listen and learn and practice. But then, what should I do? And that moment, one should do is to find a qualified teacher, spiritual master. That is the language. Spiritual master is the language presented in the Lamrim teaching. Spiritual master. Spiritual master is very much crucial and essential part of the Lamrim. You have to start, you have to begin from here. Finding spiritual master is just the beginning of the practice, Lamrim. Okay. If you look at in the Lamrim teaching, Lamrim, the great Lamrim, the extensive teaching of the Lamrim, here explained the practice of the Guru devotion, started with the finding qualified master. What is the qualification? What is the criteria that one can become spiritual master? Then after you finding spiritual master, then what should we do? Okay. From the beginning, the disciple is not looking for something like masters that can give you special trainings for your job, special trainings for your company, special trainings for your business. But you are looking for the spirituality which is supposed to be very much different from mundane life, okay? And we are looking for spiritual master, means very qualified, very professional, leading you through the spiritual process and stages and different levels. That was the concept of looking for spiritual master. Okay. If that is the case, after finding spiritual qualified master, we should treat him as differently. It should be, the way we treated him should be different from way we treated our father and mother and our brothers, sisters, and husband and wife and boyfriends and girlfriend and your classmate and your friend that when you hang around. We have the techniques. We know how to treat them one by one. We know how to treat our classmate. We know how to treat our playmate. But now, And those techniques, the way we treat them, can be applicable. The way we treat applicable, and the connections with the spiritual master. And this connections with the spiritual master, the way that treated him should be completely different. And I think here is this is the crucial point. Most of us, we know the spiritual master, we find the spiritual master, but because of our habit, because of the way our lives are accustomed, from time to time we treat our spiritual master and the way very much similar we treat the father and mother, boyfriend, girlfriend, and your classmates and your friends in everyday life. In everyday life, when we meet and live together, your everyday life, the worldly friends and your classmates and the members of the community. From time to time, we respect each other. From time to time, we argue with each other. From time to time, we don't get along each other. From time to time, we even fight each other, angry each other. In the terms of that, in the idea of the equality, and the idea of the equality, you can fight, you can get along, you can be friend, and you can do in everyday life in your society. But with spiritual master will be the only person that lead you your life in spirituality. And if you play your mundane like techniques and the way you treat other people, if you apply it with your spiritual teacher, then he will be turned into your mundane friend. He will not be, even though he is qualified, but he will not be your spiritual master because of that. You are not allowed him to lead you through the spiritual path. In a way, you are not allowed him to use his techniques and his professional knowledge and experience. You are not allowing him to play with you. You are forcing him to be like one of the friend in your everyday life, worldly life. So the normal sense of the equality may not be really, really, literally applicable in connections with your spiritual master. It doesn't mean when you meet spiritual master, you can raise your question, you can even debate it. And traditionally, in a Buddhism tradition, you are allowed to argue with him, debate with him. Argued may not be a relevant language, but you can debate with him. You can ask him the reasons. You can ask him the clarifications, because now you are in the situation. You are confused, so you need clarification. So you can debate with him. And the spiritual master, since he is qualified, he should not be offended because you are arguing now, debating. You are debating with him. You are asking him and the clarification, and your spiritual master should be available when you need him and the connections of the clarifications. And also you should build up your spiritual connections with the spiritual master, build up and stronger and stronger and stronger. Then, after you treated him the way, spiritual way you treated him, we call it guru devotion, okay? Guru devotion. Guru devotion is nothing but the way you treat him according to spirituality and the teachings of the Lamrim. That is the guru devotion. Your relation, your pure relation, your spiritual connections with the spiritual master, that is the known as guru devotion. Okay? And that guru devotion is allowing him to teach you the spiritual and guide you through the spiritual path, the stages. And allowing yourself to receive the spirituality and the spiritual helps coming from your spiritual teacher. You are allowing yourself to receive it and you getting it. But if you don't treat your spiritual master according to the Lamrim teaching and the Mahayana teachings, then whatever you received from your spiritual master may not... the effect on you, spiritual effect on you, may not be there. Now, guru devotion is nothing but the connections and the contact between you and your spiritual master. If you are practicing according to the Lamrim, then absolutely you are going to receive all the benefit that your spiritual master intended to give you. And then, with spiritual master, now you are allowing yourself to bow down and pay respect. Bowing down towards your spiritual master is the one of the best way to lowering the ego. One of the most the difficulty for individual of us is to bring down, lowering your ego. If you don't lowering your ego, that means like there is a sense of the nose, the pushing up your nose. Okay, when you raise your nose up, then that means you are not allowing yourself your ego lowering. Lowering your ego, you cannot do it with your boyfriend, girlfriend, your parents. Even in Asia, you can do a little bit with your parents, but in West, I don't think you can do lowering your ego in the connections with your parents. Okay? But now, here, in the connections with your spiritual master, so you should allow to lowering your ego with your spiritual master. He will be the only person with whom you can lowering your ego. If you are not able to lowering your ego, I think the successful of the practice spirituality. Successful of the spiritual practice, that removing or eliminating, negative inflicted emotions, and the negative emotions will not be possible. That is very clear. All the negative emotions are strongly connected with your every individual's ego. Every inflicted emotions, negative emotions we have, it's strongly connected with our ego. So our ego needs to be lowered in order to achieve successful spiritual practice, to remove or to limit the inflicted emotions we have. Therefore, the spiritual master, the qualifications of the spiritual master and the guru devotion with the spiritual master is so important, crucial point of the Lamrim teaching. Therefore, the teaching on the spiritual master and the guru devotion was set at the very beginning of the Lamrim teaching. And if someone fails from there, then the rest of the spirituality practice, the successful is very doubt, very uncertainty. And then here says, the practicing the guru devotion is the best way of practicing guru devotion is to please your spiritual master. The way to please your spiritual master is not supposed to, is not the way, because of the we are made the only offerings and doing prostrations and so forth. But the best way to practicing guru devotion is to please your spiritual master, and the best way to please your spiritual master is the following the instructions and the living up with the instructions given by your qualified spiritual master. And that should be the number one practice of the guru devotion. That should become the number one. We please the spiritual master. Okay, if spiritual master having the quality that we find him so pleased, so happy when we shared some improvement, spiritual improvement we achieved when we shared with him, if he shown so happy and he is kind of feel thrilling and happy, and that means he really sincerely wanted to help us to be free from the inflicted negative emotions. So it will be easy for you. I find it easier to explain to you the qualification of the spiritual master and the guru devotion of the spiritual master, because you have already received teaching on Lamrim many, many times already, and you already had a spiritual master, and you had the spiritual master's root gurus and everything you had. So here I just wanted to make you more firm, your spiritual practice, particularly the practice of the guru devotion and connections with His Holiness the Dalai Lama and the great master and root gurus you had already. Sometimes we might find the spiritual root guru is already passed away, so what should I do? And someone might find kind of lost, and the spiritual master is no longer here, so what should we do? And what, where I should go and look for new root gurus and so forth. But I would say we have received more or less adequate teachings, already adequate teachings from the root guru we had before. So now it is a time to live up with it. once we live up with it, the spiritual master should be there and somewhere with us. Another point I'd like to put emphasis is we know that all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, they are sincerely willing to liberate all the sentient beings, which is I'm one of them. And now I am very much sincere. I'm very sincere to be free from the samsara, liberated. And because of that, I like to practice, and I like to practice the Mahayana part in Lamrim. Sincere. Then the teaching of the Lord Buddha should be available. Teaching of the Buddha, Lord Buddha Shakyamuni, should be available available for us. That is a crucial point. Availability of the Buddha Shakyamuni, the teaching, is only through spiritual master. We can buy the books and the teachings of the Lord Buddha, like Kanjurin, Danjur, Tripitaka, everything we can buy from the shop. But buying them, it doesn't mean they are available. Availability of the the Lord Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching must come through your spiritual master. When spiritual master delivered you the teachings, then the teaching of the Mahayana, teaching of the Lord Buddha is there. Teaching of the Lord Buddha is there because of the qualified master is there, and he is presenting it, and you have the faith and you have the guru devotion. Because of the combination of this, availability of your spiritual master, and he is presenting the teaching, and you are ready to receive it with the unshakable faith, everything there, then there is availability of the Lord Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching there. Otherwise, I would say availability of the Lord Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching would be the doubt. What I intended to say is that now adequate teaching was already presented, given to you by this root guru you had or you have it now. Like His Holiness is continuously from time to time, he's presenting us, and the Lati Rinpoche presented us, Geshe Gyaltsen present to you. So now the availability is there, and what is left for us is now the issue of how much we can live with it. So now the purpose of the guru devotion, we are so fortunate that because of this we have made a qualified spiritual master, root guru we have made. And the root guru was kind enough, given us adequate teachings, not only one time, but many times. And I'm fortunate that I am a qualified disciple. I have the faith and I could follow his teachings. I'm living up with the instructions and teachings he gave. So I'm fortunate. And now, let us pray that this fortunate opportunity, will continue it, not only this lifetime, but future lifetimes. Not only for myself it's available, but I wish the availability of the Lord Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching and the availability of the spiritual master and the availability of the, your own faith should be there forever and should be there for mother sentient being, the rest of the sentient being should be there. And that is the purpose of the teaching guru devotion here. Okay, now here the line 10th, I would like to request you to recite the English version first. Okay, now I'm going to read it in Tibetan version first. Devet and the Ishin or Lela, the Ranya Patari, Samshi, Nyakanjila, Namki, Lokanda, Sundu Samni, Chitin, Chavakun, Pumba Chavash, and the Totin, and Sinkund, and Nimbu Lambaku, Jitran Lami, and the Tetra, or Tandu Dajan Tishin, Jansalo. Okay, here. So, right now we more or less completed the teaching on spiritual master, root guru, and devotion, guru devotion there. If you look in the Lamrim, great Lamrim teaching, it's already covered the lines, outlines, many of the outlines according to the in connections with spiritual master is very much covered already. Now here the practice of the precious human rebirth is presenting here. Now the idea of the teaching on precious human rebirth is basically telling you the opportunity we have. The opportunity we have is opportunity we have comes. It comes with the precious human rebirth we have. Human rebirth we have. Without human rebirth we have, the opportunity of the receiving teachings, opportunities of the practicing Mahayana path would not be there, that is clear. The value of the value of the human being is mainly because of the opportunity. Value of the human being is the human being offered us, the human being allowed us, life of the human being allowed us to have the opportunity and the fortune. But if you look in the human beings, and right now in the world, in this planet, the population of the human being is about 4 to 6 billion people. Within 6 billion people, how many people are fortunate and having opportunity of meeting the spiritual teaching of the Lamrim? Only handful of the human beings are fortunate. The rest of the human beings cannot see the practice of the Mahayana path, cannot hear the teaching of the Lamrim, rest of the human beings cannot hear. The reason why they cannot hear the teaching of the Lamrim, why they do not find it, is because of the, it's something to do with the at liberties and the ten endowments. There is a strong connection. If the ten endowments or the eight liberties are, one of them are missing, then the opportunity we have may not be materialized. That is the question. Therefore, saying, having the human rebirth, right now we have human rebirth. All of us in the temple, we are human beings. Do we have the opportunity? Do we have the eight liberties and the ten endowments or not? I think that we have. May not be the perfect one, but we have the human being, human life, with the qualities of the eight liberties and the ten endowment. Therefore, now today we are having the great event of the listening and the receiving, giving and the listening, the teaching of the Lamrim. Okay, today we are listening and giving the teaching of the Lamrim. We have discussions. And that is very much connected with the opportunity you have. That is very much to do with the opportunity I have. Without my opportunity, without your opportunity, the event we are enjoying today would not be possible. Would not be exist. And because of the my precious human rebirth with the eight liberties, qualities of the eight liberty, ten endowment, and the same as your liberty, the ten endowment, and allowing us, accommodating us to hold the discussion session, teaching session today. Then now, this precious human rebirth is a great and providing us an opportunity, but we must grab the opportunity right now, because this opportunity may not be there tomorrow, day after tomorrow. One never know how long the opportunity will last. Okay, that is the question. So, if you ask anybody, how long am I going to have the opportunity? Nobody can answer it. Even you don't know yourself. That's why we don't know uncertainty. We nowadays in the United States, they said everybody should have insurance, okay? The needs of the insurance is great because of the uncertainty is great. If there is a certainty, then probably insurance would not be issue. If it's certainty, that means we know when we are going to die, and we know we are not going to, we cannot extend it, we cannot receive the treatment, because anyway we are going to die. And that day, that time, that minute, then it's simple. Okay? Simple, but then it's easier. But fortunately or unfortunately, we don't know. We don't know how long we are going to live. We don't know how long the opportunity we have will last. So that means that the reason why I said it, so maybe fortunate, maybe unfortunate, Because of that, even if we know that we are going to die after 10 years, exact date and the week and date and the time and the minute we know it, then our habit of the laziness will not go away. Habit of the laziness will there with us until the last minute. Okay? That is clear. So when we know that uncertainty of the life is imminent there, uncertain, so everybody will know, okay, it's better to start today. The practice of the spirituality, practice of the Lamrim must be started today and should not be delayed, because of no one knows that when Lord of the Day is waiting for us, when he's going to come to our doorway and knock at the door, okay? When he comes to our doorway and knock at the door, then it will be too late for us. So it's better practice the spirituality, particularly Mahayana path, loving kindness and the compassion and the altruistic mind right now. And then when Lord of the Dead comes at your doorway, knock at the door, you are not in the fear anymore. You are rather ready to go with him. And without the panics, without the hesitations, smoothly ready to go, that is the result of the practice. Result of the practice of the Lamrim, particularly part of the Lamrim, the uncertainty of the death. Particularly the teaching of the practice and teachings of the suffering of the samsara, impermanent of the life, and the relations between cause and effect, relations between karma and its result. If someone who qualified, someone who practiced and received the teaching thoroughly, then when death comes, the person will be ready to go without hesitation. Person can say goodbye to his friends and the relatives. Goodbye, we'll meet you again in future lives. And that is the result of the practicing Lamrim. Probably will not be too sad because of we know that we are going to meet again. Samsara is too big, so there will be a lot of chance to meet more people, make more friends in the futures, and there are more opportunity. We know that the people who are, people feel panic when death comes, when doctors come in and tells you. I think the first message you will bring by doctor saying that your sickness cannot be treated, cannot be cured, and that will be the exactly the message coming from your death, Lord of the Dead. And the people feel a panic because not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing where to go, and clearly seeing that everything we have, house and the property and the friends and the relatives, even your own names cannot come along with you. Even your personal name will not come with you. Your names, everything will be left in the cemetery and there. and you will be gone alone yourself. You have to go yourself alone because you came yourself. Nobody came with you. You alone came to the world. When you came to the world, you didn't have anything. You didn't have any friends, nothing. Yourself came. So now it is a time to, when time comes, you have to go yourself. Coming single, going single. Okay? That is the nature of the life. And when we were born, somehow it's strange, when we were born, the first reaction is crying. Our life started with crying. And our lives are going to end with crying. I don't know if the first cry is auspicious or not, but that is the reality. And our death, when death comes, we are crying. But it's auspicious or not, but that is the nature. In the meantime, between birth and the death, we have the long experience. And during the long experience, we would have cried. So I would say life, the history of the life, is nothing but the history of the crying. From beginning till end, we keep crying. And that is the nature. It's not somebody made it up and exaggerated and describing our life. But it is the true life. So now the important point is, why are we telling the uncertainty and the death impermanent? Why we should hear this? The reason why this is presenting all the experience of the suffering and the death and the uncertainty is because spiritual master would not like you to keep delay your spiritual practice. The spiritual master wants you to do it, practice of the spiritual practice from now, and keep on and live up with it. Okay, now I would like to request you to recite the English version of the chapter 11. Is presenting the teaching of the triple gem, needs of the triple gem, and practice of the refuge of the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. That is the main point. Okay, now it is commonly used that the practice of the taking refuge of Buddha, Dharma, Sangha is just the beginning of becoming Buddhist. If you are Buddhist, you're supposed to take a refuge of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. That's commonly known, which is right. Now, we have to know that the needs of the triple jain, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, why we need three of them. And I find that the formulation of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha is Four Noble Truths, okay? Because of the Four Noble Truths, the needs of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha is proved, very much proved because of the Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths is going to come later on. And but here it says, because of the suffering, the truth of the suffering and the truth of the cause of the suffering, those two is a formula for the truth of the cessation and the path to cessation. Truth of the cessation and the path to cessation is because of the truth of the suffering, because of the truth of suffering and the truth of the cause of the suffering. Therefore, the structure of the Buddha Dhamma Sangha is there. It's logically proved. If Four Noble Truths is not present, then we would not know the needs of the taking refuge of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. The Four Noble Truths is very much related to individual, your personality, your personal life. Because of your personal life, is very much described by Four Noble Truths. Then, because of the Four Noble Truths, the needs of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha is there. The Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha is there, so we have to take a refuge of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. The way taking refuge of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha is following the Buddha Shakyamuni and his teaching. That is the way we are taking refuge of Buddha. And the practicing all the techniques and the teachings that are presented by Buddha Shakyamuni, that is the way we are taking refuge of Dhamma. Taking refuge of the Dhamma, that means we are practicing, exercising, and the process of the spirituality. The process is the way we are making progress and the spirituality, particularly in the Mahayana path. And the process of the making progress in a Mahayana path is a long and very, very, something very vast and a long process. So there is a need of the spiritual community, we say Sangha, and being associated with the spiritual Sanghas. That is the way of the taking refuge of the Sangha. So now taking refuge of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. So now taking refuge of the Dharma will begin with the taking precept. Taking precept. precept that goes with the 10 virtues. That is the beginning. Once we receive we make a kind of a commitment that we are going to practice the 10 virtues. Because of the practicing 10 virtues, we are not going to committed and involved the non-virtuous action, 10 non-virtuous actions, we are not going to commit it. Practicing 10 virtues is the way practicing. That creating the 10 virtues and the good karmas. 10 virtues and the good karmas, that is powerful enough to lead us to higher realms and preventing us from danger of to be born in the lower realms. That is the sense of the taking refuge of the Dharma. That is the sense of the Dharma now coming and saving us, protecting us from the danger of the falling and to be born in the lower realms. Because of the 10 virtues, it has the quality that the positive actions would have the power that our future life is going to be in the higher realms. If we look at one by one 10 virtues and the non-10 virtues, negatives, 10 negatives. There's like killing and hurting and abusing and all the negatives. All the negatives that we never dreamed, we never wished happen to us in our life, to individuals. And the opposite of the 10 virtues, like non-10 virtues, like negative 10 negative actions. If 10 negative actions comes experiencing every day, it's going to be tremendous suffering. It's going to be tremendous disturbing and stressful. And when our life is very much living up with the 10 virtues, that is such I consider it's such peace and the calm and the comfort. So the practicing 10 virtues has the sense that the future life, our future life, will be very much kind of ensured and certain to be born in the realm where you have no disturbance or less disturbance. If you practice the negative actions, 10 negative actions most of the time you're in your life, and you can probably guess, you can feel that your next life also will be subject of somebody will come and use against you and practice the 10 virtues. And when you are looking for the information, you always get the wrong information. When you want to hear that somebody tells you the courtesy, you always hear the negatives. And when we have the good friends, somebody else comes and break the relations. When we like to live a long, like to have a long lives and something and somebody comes and disturbs your lifespan. And when we like to become rich and somebody comes and steals. So all these are negative result of the negative actions again to experience sooner or later. And that depends on how strong negative karmas we accumulate in this lifetime. Very much likely we are going to experience the life where we are going to experience the negative actions constantly. And the life where you're going to experience the 10 negative actions will be known as the low realms. The realm, the life where we experience the 10 virtues most of the time will be known as the high realms. So the possibility of the to be born in the life where you have the experience of practicing 10 virtues, as I said, that is the higher realms. It will be a result of the practicing 10 virtues life in this time, in this life, and previous lives. The practice of the 10 virtues in this life and previous life is because of the receiving teachings, receiving the positive guidelines that be presented by either from spiritual master or spiritual friend or very good society, good community, good community where allowing the members of the community generally practicing 10 virtues. Very good society, very good community, a safe community, we say. Safe community. Oh, community is wonderful. What is wonderful? Because of the practicing 10 virtues. So the community and the spiritual master and guidance helping us to be born again in high realms. That is very much connected with the practice of the 10 virtues, which is the very beginning of the Dharma. Dharma is something to be established within your life, and the way establishing and how establish the Dharma, practice of the Dharma, is you should apply the 10 virtues first. Once you apply the 10 virtues, that is the meaning of the Dharma is now protecting you, the saving you, and ensured that you are not going to be born again in the lower realms, because now this life you are living up with the practicing of the 10 virtues, which is very much a part of the Dharma. And on the base of the 10 virtues, and now you are allowed, and you are very much allowed to make a progress of the practicing loving kindness and the compassion and the wisdom. Everything starts from there. Okay, now I'm going to stop the teaching today here, and going to have the discussion sessions for next 15 minutes, let's say. Next 15 minutes, let us to have discussion session, and I would like to hear, if you have questions, I would like to hear them.
We are familiar with the teaching of sentient
being in the sixth realm. In here, it mentioned nine kind of sentient being. Can you please elaborate a little bit for us about that notion?
This is ten. Nine means, I think, in the desire realm of the desire. Desire realm, there is nine different levels. Desire realm, and the form realm, and the formless realm. So usually there are three different categories mentioned in the Abhidhamma, teaching of the Abhidhamma Kosha. And the Abhidhamma Kosha tried to describe the Buddhist cosmology. They explained the three realms. Okay. First realm is desire realm, and the second realm is form realm of the form, with the form, and the third is a realm there is no form. Okay. And the first the desire realm, there are I think the nine different levels, and here describing nine different realms.
Just towards the end of your teaching, you said where you experience negative actions, it will be known as lower realms, and positive actions will be called the higher realms. But as human beings, we're supposed to have the optimum realm here, but we experience a lot of negative actions. So sometimes it seems like state of mind rather than an actual negative realm.
Very good question. And we believe that once you're born in the low realms, you are going to experience the mostly negative actions in low realms. Mostly negative actions. And even though when we are living in a modern society, the society where there is a lot of violence and disturbance, I think still because of the human realm being part of the human realm, and I think you still have a great opportunity to hear and to experience the ten virtuous actions. Still, the actions you experience, ten virtuous actions in society, may not be powerful enough to lead you to next higher realms, but still, because of the result of the previous karmas, we are still enjoying with those people, the people like in the part of the world experiencing a lot of violence and disturbance. I think they still have the opportunity enjoying ten virtues, still peace of the little moments of the peace, still they have. But during that period, you can practice some kind of ten virtues, but most of the time, because of the violence and so forth, unfortunately creating more and more negative karmas, negative actions, so their future is very uncertainty, and more likely they might be born in the lower realms. I hope not.
I have another question also.
Yeah.
when you were began the teaching, you talked about how we have the karma to meet the spiritual master and to study, and we've had many lifetimes. It's actually a discussion I had before with Tartsala, and it was about when we meet someone and we feel a strong connection with them, is it because, and it's not necessarily the spiritual master, but just people in general, if we, when we meet them, are we meeting them and are attracted or averse to them because of our karmic propensities, or because we really had a karmic connection with the person from a previous life?
I think here the karmic connection is very common and very general connection. Okay? Here we are very much concerned about the spiritual connection, I think. That is the main point. Spiritual connections usually something to do with the spirituality, and the people who are practicing spirituality most of their lifetime, if we come and meet them, and if we have that kind of experiencing the easy, without so much disturbance, we could relate it and connect it, and a sense of the spiritual activities, like receiving teachings, or whenever receive the teachings, it's really touching the heart and relating your life. And when we raise the questions, and the master, you may not already accept it as a spiritual master, but you find that that person is more relevant and more attending your questions that concerning spiritual practices. And that way, I would say, probably that person is maybe qualified, so it is a time now do more study, like you might say survey, okay, whether the person is a really qualified spiritual master for me or not, so you can survey and you can study. And then once you are convinced that the person is really qualified spiritual master, then we accepted him as a spiritual master, and even later on he might become your root guru, root spiritual master, and then what we should do is we should practice the guru devotion, unshakable guru devotion, which lead you to the successful Mahayana practice. That's my understanding.
Thank you.
Did I address your question?
It was actually concerning more ordinary relationships, and thank you very much for that beautiful clarification of the relationship, the spiritual master. But this is more in ordinary relationships, when just ordinary people, we find that we are have a strong connection, say, with someone. So the discussion was, is that because of our karmic propensities, or we have something to that's ripening in our particular mental continuum? Or is that an actual reconnecting with someone from our past? Because the question also was, since all beings have been our mothers, then aren't we meeting them again and again? So is that more because we had a connection with them in the past or because of our karmic propensities?
I think the karmic connection, as I said, very general. So whomever we meet, there is a karmic connection. Okay. If I meet somebody in the street and say hello, that means that we had some karmic connection. That's. But here, the what is the point we need to discuss and clarify it is what kind of karmic connections. I think that is the main point. And often we should not be confused when we build up the close friendship. Okay, close friendship. Close friendship doesn't mean a spiritual karmic connection. Okay, close friendship can be worldly karmic connections we had, and we are not only we had before, but we are strengthening the worldly life, worldly connections again and again. That's one thing. So connections, karmic connections and spiritual connections should not be confused, mixed up. So now, this ordinary person, if we are looking for spiritual master, then we should be aware that the relation we want is the relation we are looking for. And the connections we are looking for, it should be different from the relation we already had with the many other people, and mundane relations should be different. The relation should be different, so the way we treat it also should be different. We should treat it with the person should be different, otherwise it's going to become the mundane relationship, and that will often preventing the progress and continuing the spiritual helps from the spiritual helps from the qualified person. So the person who is looking for the spiritual master, he should have the clear idea what kind of person you are looking for and how we should look for. That needs to be clear. And then, if I don't make a mistake, there is a saying in English, you don't know what you are getting into. Okay? And to know what we are getting at, we should be clear yourself first. When you know yourself first clearly, what you are looking for, what you want, what you need, what you are looking forward, then it make you easier to get what you wish. But often we think, oh yeah, this is what I'm looking for. So once we get it, it's totally changed, immediately changed and turned the way opposite of what we are looking for. So that is the lack of the clarification from the beginning, what we are looking for. That is also very much part of the ego, okay? Because when we are looking for the spiritual master, still ego is very much part of your approach. Your ego is playing a very important part of your approach, or your search. Then, what you said. You are confusing, you are not knowing what you are looking for, what you are getting. You are confused. Confused why? Because of the ego is being very much important part of, as an essential part of your approach and your practice. And the ego always tells something, always make you something. Whatever you get, whatever you experience, is part of the maintaining and worthy life. That is the duty of the ego. Ego is responsible, and the duty is whatever you get is to turn into worldly life. That ego's job. And the ego would not be happy if you are really meeting spiritual master. If you are really receiving even teaching from the master, ego will try her best. Everything changes into the worldly life. That is the ego's responsibility. And that is why, okay, we have to emphasize the practice of the guru devotion and the connections with the spiritual friend. From there we have to be Lama Tsongkhapa and the great Adishasi. This is a very, very crucial point, because otherwise your spiritual practice process will not be successful because of the ego. Ego and your attachment is related, strongly related. There is a strong bonds between your ego and attachment. Attachment, the ego we have, will make strong, very powerful bonds with our disappointment and our angry and hate. Because of the ego and the attachment, often what we believe is turned into disappointment. Once it turns into disappointment, and the immediate experience is anger and even hate. Not only hate, but it's hate with you. You tell yourself, what am I doing? You're kind of insulting yourself. What am I doing? Insulting yourself. What am I doing? When you say, what am I doing, that means actually we are not knowing ego was playing main part of your business. But we are pointing yourself. We are not... that moment we should point the ego. Yes, ego is doing the everything, the failure. Okay.
Thank you, Rinpoche. That's very helpful.
Thank you, Rinpoche. You said earlier, we were commenting about how the Theravada and the Mahayana are actually unified and not actually separate. But it seems that at the level of motivation at the beginning are somewhat different, and the fruit of the practices are also somewhat different. So could you clarify this idea that they are unified? I mean, it makes sense at one level, but at another level, it's a little bit confusing.
Okay, as far as I know about the Theravadan tradition, the main focus is they say liberation of the samsara. Liberation of the samsara is mainly concerned yourself. Mainly concerned yourself, but not much thinking of the whole mother sentient beings. It's mainly concerning yourself to be liberated from the ocean of the samsara. That is the main focus. So then, if that is your approach, then there is no sense of the need of practicing great compassion. Great compassion. Here it's important to be clarified. What is the meaning of the great compassion, okay? That is the special language used in the Mahayana teaching, okay? But if the Theravada tradition, you would not accept it. The compassion we have is inferior, would not accept it. It is a great. You can say it a great. You can call it a great. But, and the language used in the Mahayana teaching, great compassion means should be covered whole mother sentient beings, including insects and mosquitoes as well. Okay? And that kind of compassion is not clearly expressed in the Theravadan tradition. Plus, from the great compassion, it's continued and go on. The next stage is the altruistic mind. Altruistic mind is your belief and your approach that looking for state of the enlightenment, this is another point. State of the enlightenment that been described in Mahayana teaching and the Theravadan teaching may not be exactly same. They explained in Mahayana teaching, the state of the enlightenment, sometimes they use fully enlightened state. Here, fully enlightened state means you're supposed to fully qualified, fully aware the state of the, we call it, shunyata and the emptiness. Shunyata and emptiness, which will come, we will discuss at the sixth perfection. The teaching of the sixth perfection will explain more about what is the meaning of the shunyata and emptiness. And shunyata and emptiness, that language is not well presented, not clearly stated in Theravadan tradition. Theravadan tradition, they explain there may be selflessness or something, but that concept, it may not be exactly the same described in the Mahayana teachings.
So are these different views, is the Theravada just a more limited view than in terms of compassion and emptiness compared to the Mahayana? Or so in that way they are just unified, but one's more limited than the other?
Well, the language of the limited is sometimes to make me hard to use, because I don't want to be disrespectful in the I like to respect the Theravadan tradition as well. But Theravadan tradition, they have the compassion. Of course, they don't want to kill any living beings part because of the compassion. They don't want. But whether they stress on the compassion that been described in Mahayana teaching, saying every mother sentient being, even including the sentient beings are soon going to become the Buddhas, also included there, compassion. Of course, my level of the spirituality is much lower than the sentient beings who are very much close to be Buddha, Buddha state of the Buddha. My level is much lower, but I'm supposed to have compassion towards them too. And that kind of compassion, I don't know, being described in Theravadan tradition or not, I'm not quite sure. And that sense, okay, the compassion described in Mahayana teaching is really great. Okay. But I don't mean I don't want the compassion described in Theravada tradition is limited. I don't want to say it.
When the teaching says that they are not really different, but they are the same, that's not exactly clear to me.
I would not say same because of the techniques of the practice is not same. Not same techniques are applied. To be the great compassion, okay, that been described in Mahayana, you have to apply the all these techniques to develop the complete great compassion. You have to apply to many techniques. So even you have the compassion, you've been practicing compassion your lifetime. But if you have not applied the techniques that have been required, that have been explained in the Mahayana teaching, then the compassion I have may be very high compassion, but I may not call it the great compassion, exactly same great compassion stated in Mahayana teachings.
Thank you, Rupaji. Thank you.
I hope that I did not confuse you.
Thank you. Clarified. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Simta. We can end the session of the Lamrim today, and the maybe I'd like to say something before I end it. And the lines we read one by one. You should know that it's a summary of the chapters in Great Lamrim. Summary, it's short. Since you have received the teachings on Lamrim from qualified masters like His Holiness and Lati Rinpoche, Geshe Gyaltsen, so now when you read the short Lamrim, we are working on today and yesterday, you would easily able to relate the extensive teachings given in the Lamrim that correspond in this few lines in the song of the experience Lam Tsongkhapa composed. I hope you can relate it. And the purpose of the giving on this is kind of you can reflect it, the more or less complete teaching and presented in each outline. Like we already discussed on the practice of the spiritual friend, guru devotion with the spiritual friend. And that it's important to relate to how many lines, how many explanations are given in the Lamrim Chamo. We're supposed to reflect it. Of course, we cannot go into details whatever explained it in the Lamrim because of the time and the short times. So, but you can reflect it. You can say, okay, yes, I remembered. It's been said in the Great Lamrim and chapter this and that, outlined here and there. You can reflect it. And that is the purpose of why Lama Tsongkhapa made short Lamrim. The using the practitioners whoever using the short lam limbs is being formulated, that you can easily reflect the extensive teachings of the lam limb you have already received. And also saying, if you received only the lam limb teaching on this text, that means it is sufficient. It's not sufficient. You have to receive the complete teaching of the lam limb. And this could be the teaching that you can get on, the main teaching of the lam limb, and later on, either from His Holiness or some other qualified teachers who can give you adequate time and timelines here and future. But I believe that most of you already have received the teaching of the lam limb. Okay, now we can end the today's session.
Yeah.